It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it too. I hug it once in a while. Sounds silly, but what the heck, you know.
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscough? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscough is your host on the program, filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the integrated crop management agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Crosscough.
1-800-859-0957. If you'd like to join the conversation, and we do have lines open, so if you haven't had a chance to call, something has just got to be answered, now's your opportunity. Let me give you that phone number again, 1-800-859-0957. But during the week, middle of the night, whenever something happens to pop up that you'd like some information about, you can email me, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. Down at the bottom of the page, there's a form to do that. And Johnny and Warren, Steve and Macomb, Peter and Hazel Park, Ronald and Dexter, and especially Larry and Hamtramck, I will get to your calls and your answers today, or at least your questions. But also, as you take a look at the website, take a look at the other information that we've got on there. And one of the things that we'll have this week is a link to Michigan State University's FireWise website. Now, FireWise deals with forest fires and all kinds of fire dangers, things like that. We've been lucky with all the rain and everything. We haven't had major outbreaks of fire. Doesn't have to be in the UP either. I've seen major burns down here in the southeast, even in housing additions. If the fire, you know, somebody flicks a cigarette the wrong way, it can do great damage. So take a look at FireWise, the website. Got lots of information in there, especially if you want to check your house to see how much danger you might be in right now. And just to remind everybody, it's getting hot out there. I think that's no news. And that means we're probably going into a dry period, and with all the lush plant growth we've had, all that grass, all of the great new growth on plants that we're just loving, that can dry out very quickly, and that is a major fire hazard. So as you're looking at the webpage, check out MSU FireWise. 1-800-859-0957. I mentioned Larry from Hamtramck. And Larry, I owe you an apology, but also a great thank you. He emailed me and said, what happened to the podcasts? Podcasts, for those of you who don't know or don't really use them, are recordings of each week's show. And they're supposed to be up on that website. And Larry, if you've ever been around me or if any of you out there have listened to me, like in presentations and things like that, you'll know that electronics hates me. Anytime I pick up anything like that, cell phones, you name it, it just kind of sits there and says, forget it, I'm not dealing with this guy, he's got bad karma. I figured here at JR, with all the great technical people we have and the long history of innovation and our websites and everything, that would be blocked off. Obviously, it's not. So we found them, they were supposed to be on the website, they will get that fixed. Blame it on me. Just bad electronic karma. But Larry, thank you for reminding me, because I had missed that. I hadn't looked down there. And if you're looking for web on that on the website, it's below the form to email me. We should have that straightened away by the middle of the week, I would hope, or no later at the end of the week. 1-800-859-0957. You know, this time of year, it's sort of the time to sit back, kick back, and enjoy our yard. But a lot of the things that we're doing now, or should be thinking about doing, will have a major impact in August and, of course, later into the fall and even next year. So if you have a question, something's going on in that yard, let's talk about it. 1-800-859-0957. Back to the emails, though. Johnny and Warren emailed me a week ago. And a very simple question, Johnny, but a very hard one to answer. And the question was, should I use Epsom salts on my grass? And the answer is, I don't know. And the reason for that, Johnny, is I can't tell because we need a soil test. And brings up, you know, you need a soil test to make that recommendation. When soil testing does, it looks at individual elements like magnesium. That's what's in Epsom salts, is magnesium sulfate. But it also looks at the ratios of everything else in there, because if something's too high or too low, it has impact on other nutrients in the soil, makes them less or more available, perhaps blocks uptake to the plant or increases it. It gets very complex. So just saying, yes, use Epsom salts on your grass is not doing you a justice. That's the way to answer the question the way I should. So my answer is, I don't know, but you need to get a soil test. Brings up something else. And, okay, I'm going to get on my soapbox here. One of the things that I have a real problem with is what I call a blanket recommendation. Covers everything. Each of our situations, our own personal situations, our lawns, our grass, you name it, our plants, what we want to do with that is different. That's what makes life so interesting. We're all different. The problem is that a blanket recommendation like this, just use Epsom salts on my grass, I don't know what your situation is. So be very, very wary if someone says, yeah, that'll cure all your problems. I don't need to test. I know it. Blah, blah, blah. That includes me. Sometimes I try not to do that. I try to personalize it each way, but sometimes I don't have the information I should. Or, you know, always, I don't care who you're talking to and listening to, take the recommendation with a grain of salt and make sure in your mind, does this make sense for what I see and what I know about this site and what I want to do to have happen here. The other thing is, I'll guarantee you, Johnny, if you sprayed some Epsom salts on your grass, it'll green up automatically. Just always does. And about a week later, it'll turn back the same color it was before. Doesn't mean that Epsom salts or magnesium's lacking in the soil. Just means it isn't translocated very fast sometimes. So the grass will green up, and then it'll go back down again. Sometimes they don't use Epsom salts so much, but if you're having an outdoor wedding or a party and you want to get your grass nice and green, the old trick, all the lawn care companies owe this one, get an iron chelate, and you can find that at your local garden center. Spray it on, the grass will get beautifully green for about a week, and then it goes away. So if you have a wedding coming up, there's a neat trick to green up your grass. If you have any other questions, give me a call, 1-800-859-0957, or check out my website at wjr.com/The Gardening Show. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. Just wanted to thank the technical geniuses who are trying to prevent my karma, my aura, from screwing everything up. And that, of course, is Rich Luzinski, who is our producer today, and the nice voice that you're talking to when you call in is Shannon Malley. Good luck, guys. I'm on a roll today, so the karma is there, so they're working hard. 1-800-859-0957. And apparently they're doing their job because somebody could make it through on the phone. So let's go to Elaine in Bloomfield. Elaine, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Hi. My landscaper planted 5 5-gallon hydrangeas.
What kind?
Well, that's what I don't know. But okay. He did say they were not Nikos.
All right.
So, and then he said to use, bone meal to get them to go pink. Well, I don't know how much to put on and how long it takes for them to go.
Let's talk
pink.
A little soil chemistry. And first of all, let's talk about bone meal. Bone meal is a great source of calcium, and it's also a good source of phosphorus for people who are using it as an organic fertilizer. Works quite well, kind of pricey. But that's another whole argument. So it's useful for that. It also is alkaline in pH. Now, when your landscaper was talking about changing the color, Elaine, you got to be a little careful on what he said. Now, what color are, do you know what color the flowers on those hydrangeas are going to be?
Oh, they're blue.
Okay.
And I specifically asked him that I wanted pink.
All right. Yeah. Now, it depends on which type, but I think you got the right one. Yeah, we can change that. Not this year. It'll be next year.
Okay, next year.
Now, here is what I need to know, or you need to do. It's, I don't know if you were listening earlier when I was on my soapbox and about blanket recommendations.
Yeah.
This is one of those. You need a soil test done. And you need it right around the soil, right around where those plants were put in. And what they will tell you then, if the soil is, what you're trying to do is that under acidic conditions in the soil, aluminum is taken up into the hydrangea plant, into the flower. And it changes the chemistry of the compounds that form the color, and it goes from blue to pink. That's why. And if it's alkaline, they go from blue, or excuse me, if they are, if it's alkaline, pH is high, it goes from blue to pink. If the you want it, if it's pink and you want blue, you do the reverse. You make it acidic. However, I don't know where to start, so you need to get a soil test done. Which isn't that bad.
Well, actually, I did have a wonderful hydrangea in that location,
sure,
pink, for about 10 years, but it had to be removed for some maintenance issues. So I know that soil is accommodating.
Well, let me put it this way. If they did lots of renovation and did some planting and all that, that soil is not the same as it was.
Well, actually, what they did is they put a compressor in the wrong place, and then I had to move it.
Okay. So,
and so they didn't dig up anything.
Did they put a concrete pad under the compressor?
No. They removed it. I mean, I was furious where they put this generator.
All right.
And so, I lost my beautiful hydrangea. But I do know that a pink hydrangea flourishes in that location.
I would still suggest getting a soil test done. Takes about 2 weeks, and then it'll tell you probably, and instead of bone meal, if you really wanted to do it pink, they were probably going to suggest using lime.
Lime?
It's much more effective. However,
how often do you put it on?
Oh, usually about once a year, or if you're soil testing, every time you take a test, once every 2 or 3 years. You get it up, are you in the clay in there? Up in Bluefield?
Some parts of my yard is clay, some of it's sandy.
You see, that makes a difference. If the clay, if we adjust the pH on clay, it's about every 3 years you have to go back in and test. On the sand, it's about every year. It changes that much.
Yeah.
So a soil test, check with your local, you got a couple of great independent garden centers not that far from you. Give them a call and see if they don't have a soil test kit from MSU in stock.
All right, I bought one.
Okay, cool.
But
good.
It's I can't remember the name of it.
Did you
there's
get
four
the,
different vials?
All right, this isn't the one I'm talking about. Although this might work. The one I'm talking about from MSU is it's just a bag and stuff, and you send it up for a full blown analysis, a lab analysis. What you've got is what's called a quick test kit.
Yeah,
and they're not bad. You want the pH one. The one that says pH on it, or follow the directions. And here's a couple of tricks with that. Follow the directions very carefully, because if it's a little bit off, it changes the results. The other thing is, do you have a lot of mulch and stuff in that soil, a lot of organic matter?
No.
Okay. If you do, it's a good idea anyhow. When you make up your solution and all that, get a filter paper, a coffee filter, and run the solution through the coffee filter, because it'll change, you know, if you have a lot of organic matter, it changes the color, and you can't see it.
Well, I think the best is to go to the Michigan State.
I agree, because it tests for everything, although this will give you a kind of indication. Are you, by any chance, colorblind?
No.
Red-green. I am, so I can't use that test.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's really subtle. I think the MSU one's $25. Check with your local garden centers, or you can go to msue.edu and kind of sort around in there. It's in the bookstore part, and they'll send you one.
Now, this is the thing. My endless summers,
sure,
I've got a ton of those, and they're erect, and they look beautiful, but these are all floppy.
Well, how long ago were they planted?
In May.
All right. Here's something I want you to do, Elaine. And don't, this is going to be a little bit of plant abuse, but I got some real suspicions. Go out. How big are these bushes?
They were 5 gallon.
Okay.
When I bought them.
You got a bad back?
Yeah.
Okay. Get the kid next door, you know, the teenager over in your yard, and see if he can pull them up.
Pull them up?
Yeah. Now, the reason I'm doing this is if the landscaper didn't put them in right and he didn't split the ball out when he put them in, that may be they're wilting because the roots have not moved out into the soil.
Yeah, because these don't look anything like the ones.
Get the kid from next door to see if he can pull them out. Now, he doesn't have to be a weightlifter to do this. Just give him a good yank or a good pull, tug. And if they pop right out of the ground, you know what your issue is. And what you do is not that big a deal. What you do, Elaine, is you take them out of the ground, dig the hole back out to where it was, then take a knife, the third at the root, at the bottom of the ball.
You slide it up.
Yeah, you loosen it up, put it back in, water it, and start all over again.
Yeah, because these do not look like my endless summers.
You need
at
to
all.
Get that squared away.
Yeah.
Before we start messing around with pH and all this other stuff.
Okay. Well, okay. I appreciate your help because
good
I was
luck.
Looking on the internet. There wasn't anything definitive in there.
Well, again, it depends on the type of hydrangea too. Some of them just don't respond to this. So to get a hold, see if you find a tag or something on the plants. He should have given you a name, and that way you could tell if it's one of those that responds to pH or not.
Yeah, because they just are all splayed out.
Grab the kid next door and say, hey, come here and show me your muscles.
Okay.
See if you can pull this plant out, all right?
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Good luck, Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
1-800-859-0957. Didn't know we were going to be doing exercise show here, too, but sometimes kid next door is a good tool. You know, sometimes you need that good back. 1-800-859-0957. Okay, we're going up to a break. Ron in Memphis, I see you're on the line. I will get to you after break. We're getting background music. We'll be up in a minute. Mean I've got to go to break, but that's a problem. A couple of other things on when I look at my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. Check out second information on second generation of pine needle scales hatching, and there's some information on that. If you don't know what it is, go check your pines, especially black pine, mugos. Polkweed and giant ragweed, great article. And if you're growing cabbage, the caterpillars are eating them alive. We got information about that. Also, when we get back, I'm going to be talking to Ron. I'd like to talk to you. 1-800-859-0957. I'm going to be talking about why you want to give your pyracantha a bath. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 to join this conversation. I kind of did a teaser at the end of the last, or beginning of the last break, and talking about giving your plants a bath. I did say that. And because with the hot weather we're getting, and especially if it stays dry like the projections are, spider mites can just explode. It's just amazing how fast they can reproduce. They overwhelm the natural predators and everything, and just then we start seeing browning, leaf drop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the ones, the plants that are notorious for getting spider mite problems are dwarf Alberta spruce, burning bush, euonymus, and pyracantha, those three. And if you have any of these, you've seen it before. But the weather is just setting it up for this population explosion. Now, you can spray for these, and there are some really good miticides out there. But my suggestion is use a garden hose. Just get as much pressure as you can on your hose. I use what's called a fireman's nozzle. It just shoots a stream out. And just squirt up underneath the plants and just blast them about once a week. The pressure of the water actually washes the adult mite off. The higher humidity causes their eggs to not hatch, and it allows the natural predators to catch up. So a little bit of washing some plants from underneath can really prevent spider mite problems on those. So give it a try. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Ron in Memphis. Ron, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, thank you, Dean. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you, I've been inspired lately about doing some of this gardening. But what I have, I tried to clone some bamboo. I lived in this house years ago, and I went back there and got some cuttings off of this bamboo.
Okay, I've got real quick question. Are you sure it's bamboo?
Well, I don't know.
Okay,
it
keep going.
Like bamboo. It grows up to the gutters in about a month in the early spring, and then in the fall you got to cut the canes down.
All right. Hollow canes, does it spread a lot or not?
Oh, it will, yeah. If you don't cut it in the spring, take off. So, you know, I always tamed it with my lawnmower. I just cut up, you know, both sides of it, and it would just grow as thick as can be and big, broad leaves.
And
it would
long,
grow about 8 feet tall.
Long, thin leaves or arrow-shaped?
No, big arrow-shaped. Nice, big, wide leaves.
Ouch.
Is that bamboo?
It could be. Unfortunately, there is a very invasive weed out there that I'm getting really suspicious about. How big is this clump, Ron? How big over the
it's
years?
It's a row. It's probably 100 feet long and
That's not bamboo.
Wide.
That's not bamboo. That is not bamboo. It looks like bamboo. It's got a hollow cane, but this stuff is murderous. And you can't kill it. That's the problem. And I'm drawing a blank on what it is. I'm going to call it false bamboo, but it's not.
Is that right? Okay. That's why I couldn't find nothing on it.
Yeah, well, that's not the right name. It's not a bamboo at all. And it is a noxious weed. And I mean, this stuff, once you get it in a yard, it'll be there forever. And that's not a good thing because it spreads. It's a non-native invasive species, and it's bad news.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Take a look at my website, WJR.com/thegardeningshow, probably about Wednesday morning. And I will have something up on there. And if that plant, take a look at that. And if it looks anything like the one that you're thinking about, don't even think about it. You know, this thing is one of the worst to get rid of. And we've, you know, it's a really, really tough plant. And I'm just drawing a total blank on the genus of species at the moment. But
it's brutal. It'll just grow.
That's not a bamboo. There are some really neat ornamental bamboos that they're behaved, they do well, they survive our winters, and they don't invade. And you might want to take a look at them. There used to be, and I'm not sure they're still there, up in Oakland County, a nursery that was specialized in these kind of bamboos, and I don't know the name, it's been a while. So you might want to look around and ask some of the people, or if somebody here on my listeners wants to email me with information on a nursery on these types of bamboos. We're talking about the real true bamboo, the grass, and it is these plants that they're growing are really well behaved. They don't spread. They're not weeds. They're beautiful, but most people don't use them because they don't think, you know, bamboo or true bamboo will survive our winters. These do. What you got, Ron, is that's deadly. That stuff is just forget it.
All right.
But take a look at it on Wednesday.
Project.
And yeah, I'm glad you called because I'd hate to see that
Me
spread
too.
Any further because it's
I took some cuttings, I got them to come up in these pots, and I'm kind of excited about them, but not no more.
Keep them in the pot. Don't let them anywhere near the ground. Before Wednesday, and even if it looks remotely the same, don't plant it. Okay, Ron.
All right.
Good. Appreciate the call. Check out my website after Wednesday. This stuff is bad news. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right,
thanks a lot, Dean.
Bye. You know, don't blame yourself if it looks like something and it isn't. There are some real ones out there that are close, and usually the ones that are close aren't the ones you want. And I'm just, I can't think of the name of this, but it comes out every year, and it's usually people trying to pull their hair out, trying to get rid of this stuff. And literally, we've had go in with construction equipment, just dig it out, and even then you miss some of it. It's bad. 1-800-859-0957, or you can email me, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, and down in the middle, below the logos there. You'll find the form. Stephen McComb emailed me, and he asked, best grass seed in time to sow in the fall. Has a sod laid 10 years ago. It's mostly sunny area, watered with a sprinkler system and light foot traffic. I guess the first thing I would ask Steve is, what happened to the sod? If the sod was put in right and there wasn't anything that, you know, proper maintenance and everything, that's a 20-year lawn. And you're only 10 years out, something is not going well. Now, it could be just, okay, I've got construction, whatever. And there are lots of reasons why the sod didn't take. But you need to analyze that real carefully, because if you don't change something or make the changes, it's going to be there. And this time, you're going to get 5 years or something like that before you have to go in. And this is not a cheap thing to do. Couple other things. If you figure out what's all that, your sunny area watered with a sprinkler system and light foot traffic just screams to me Kentucky bluegrass, the traditional bluegrass lawns that we've had for 50 years. It's really a great, great grass for that kind of condition. If it was heavy foot traffic, you had kids and dogs and things like that, or you didn't have an irrigation system, then I probably wouldn't suggest bluegrass, but this is beautiful. I'm going to, on my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, check after Wednesday, and I'm going to put up three things for you. I'm going to look at the National Turf Evaluation Program recommendations, that's called NTEP, and I'm going to put in the ones from Michigan State, so you can look at the names and everything about that and which ones have done best in MSU's trials, and you're going to find that you probably won't see them. They're all blended. And there's reasons for blends, and that is to increase disease resistance and insect resistance. So it's a good thing, but check the varieties on there, and you might want to double-check to make sure you're not getting ones that didn't do well in our tests. The other thing is I'm going to put on that website some information about reading a label for if you've never looked at really closely a label on turf grass seed. Yeah, it's a little bit intimidating. And lastly, and this one's fun, I'm going to give you a link to the Lawn Care University. This is a group of video things, short videos and things like that on all aspects of lawn care, renovation, you name it, put together by Dr. Kevin Frank and Ron Calhoun, two of the experts that I really trust. And they're fun, well done, nice production values, and fun. My wife makes fun of me. You know, everybody else looks at video programs of all kinds of TV shows and everything. I look at video from on lawn care, but that's just me. But you might get interested on this. This is Lawn Care University, Steve. Take a look at it after Wednesday. 1-800-859-0957. Join this conversation. Speaking of turf, a couple of things. One of the things is hot, dry, stress. This is not going to be a fun time for the grass. We've had a lot of water, in most cases too much. The grass roots have actually shortened up because of the temperatures and things like that. Lack of fertilizers causing them to thin. This is not a good time. But anyhow, here's some tips to help your grass grow. Mow high, recommended 3 inches at least, minimum of 3 inches. If you can't do that, some of the older mowers, they just don't go up that high. Try to get as high as you can. Mow and take off no more than a third of the grass blade at a time. Watering is important, although it depends if you're going to allow the grass to go dormant. If you're wanting to keep it green and you want to keep it going, you keep watering. And we're going to talk a little bit about MSU's got a program for those of you with in-ground sprinkler systems. If you're not going to do that, then we talk about dormancy. And dormancy is a natural process. Just because the grass is brown doesn't mean it's really being hurt. So, things about that. But, you know, and we'll talk about some other things. It depends on what you want to talk about. 1-800-859-0957. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. Just to piggyback on what I was saying, or finish my thought before the break, on dormancy, letting your grass go dormant and turning brown. couple of things, one of which is lots of us have great, you know, you got to keep the watering, and it's got to be regular. It's like once a week or twice a week. And if you're going to be up at the lake in the, you know, God's country in the UP for 2 weeks, that's not going to work. So just go ahead and let the grass go dormant. Or if you're not home all the time and you don't have an in-ground irrigation system, unless you got a very small patch of grass, it's really probably just best to let it go dormant. It's a natural process. Plants survive quite well. If we go into a long, long, four-week-long drought or something, which I don't think is going to happen, watering it once a week just to keep it alive will be just fine. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Eric in LaSalle. Eric, welcome to the gardening show.
Great. Couple of things.
Okay.
The main thing is, it's probably too late for this year, but I'm trying to track down to grow, I guess, next year now, a variety of zucchini that I find readily in the produce stores, but I don't seem to find any starts or plants of it, called Kusa squash. And I'm wondering if you would have any recommendation where I might be able to find that.
It's not one that I'm familiar with, Eric.
It's very light skinned. It resembles a zucchini in shape and size, but it's a much lighter shade of green with flecks, and it has just a nice flavor for grilling, a little nicer, I think, than zucchini.
Cool. Sounds like a good one. You said you found it in the stores, which one of the big garden or big box stores, or is it a local market?
It's a local produce store called, in my neck of the woods, called Chelino's.
I know.
I suppose I could always figure out.
Hey, you know,
from
first
them who grows it.
That would be the first thing I'd go do and say, hey, you know, where do you get this stuff? I'd love it. Who are you buying from? And I'm sure they're growing local, and they will tell you who their producer is. The other thing is, if you know the variety, I'd do a just search it and look at the seed catalogs and stuff like that and see if somebody's got it out there. You know, have you grown zucchini before, haven't you, Eric?
Yeah.
They're easy. It's sort of one of those that's really easy to grow. I'd see if I could find some seed. It might be a commercial variety. I'll bet it's not. Have you been seeing these for a while, or is this something new?
Yeah. It's a regular item with them.
All right. Now, the other thing is, go look at, there's a group out there who I belong to. I've got to give you that. And it's called Seed Savers. And they are dedicated to preserving heirloom seeds and old varieties, older varieties and things like that. If you can't find the variety you're looking for in Burpees or Young's or one of those, you know, the regular garden catalogs, check out Seed Savers. Now, you may have to become a member to buy. I don't know if you do or not. I think it's a great organization to support, because I think maintaining these genetics is very crucial to what we're going to be doing, as the environment changes, where we need to go back and look at some of these. But that would be the place I'd go. The next time you're down in the market, grab the produce manager and saying, hey, where do you get this? Because I'd like some seed or something, and they probably will be able to tell you which local farmer's doing it, and then give them a call.
Fantastic. And the other thing is, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm pretty certain that the plant you were discussing just recently sounds like a plant called Phragmites.
Nope, but you're close. Phragmites is almost as bad. Phragmites is the stuff you see along the road, and certainly down there in your area of the woods in LaSalle, it's all over the place.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's a rush, and it's totally different. This is, I don't know. It's one of those things. I can see it. I just can't give you the name. You'll have it on my website. This one is worse than Phragmites, if you can believe it, because it spreads faster. And Phragmites, you have a chance to control it. And if you've ever tried that, the DNR has a great website, because you can use chemicals and use burn to control it.
I'm actually involved with the local DNR and help with those control efforts.
So you got to be persistent, but it works. And I think the DNR website, if you wanted to look at recommendations to get rid of Phragmites, that's the best information around. I recommend it highly. The thing about it is, though, this other one, you can't burn.
Oh.
And it has two underground stem stolons that will be 2 and 3 feet down. This thing is ridiculously bad. It should have never, I think it was imported probably before a ground cover, and it's one of those that somebody should have been shot, because now we're just fighting it. And again, I apologize to all of you out there, because I should have it at the tip of my tongue, because every year we have questions about it. But I'll look it up for you, Eric. And good luck on that zucchini source.
Thanks a lot for the recommendations. I'm going to look into that Seed Starter organization.
Seed Savers.
Seed Savers, sorry.
Right. And if you find it, give me a call back. Probably some other people would like to grow that variety, too. So, and probably I would. Sounds like a good one.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks.
1-800-859-0957, or, of course, email me at wgr.com/thegardeningshow. And while you're there, of course, look at all the other information. Each week we put up information of the questions that come in, further information if I answer it on the air. Also information from MSU and some other places that things are going on right now. Peter and Hazel Park emailed me, orange spots on a pear tree leaf. You know, Peter, I don't know. I have enough information there. This is one, like any time, you have world-class plant pathologists and plant physiologists at MSU. I think this is one where those people need to get involved. And you can check out msue.msu.edu how to submit a sample, or call your local extension service and see how that might happen. I'm going to put up on that website after Wednesday, Peter, some information from Penn State on disease photos. I can't find anything with orange spots. There's one disease out there that causes the whole leaf to turn orange. I'm not sure that's it. And then also from West Virginia University of West Virginia, some more disease information on that. I don't know. There's a couple, and it could be a couple of other things, too. So check those sites out. See if something looks familiar. But submit a sample, just because it looks like it is. Diseases are one of those things that they're very good at camouflage. Maybe, and the problem is the control for something, two things that look almost identical can be totally different, and that happens all the time. Ronald and Dexter has a tulip tree, and the leaves are turning brown. It's 30 years old, has a white mold in some branches. Couple of questions, Ron. Is it tulip poplar or magnolia? From the sample, what you're telling me, I'm guessing it's a magnolia. And those symptoms, especially on a 30-year-old magnolia, could be fusarium, which is a root rot, and it's not good. Again, this is a sample. You need to either get somebody out there to take a look at it. Some of the really good lawn care people or tree and shrub people are good. Certified arborist would be good, or MSU. So any of those three would be good sources. Also, it could be magnolia scale, because you say there's a white mold on some of the branches. Although on an old magnolia, I'm guessing that's not it. But I'll put that information on up. And again, by Wednesday. Wednesday morning, it'll be there. WJR.com/thegardeningshow. Judy and Franklin, stay on the line. I've got less than a minute on the air. Background music says that I'm out of here, but I want to talk to you. So do not hang up, Judy, please. I'll talk to you off there. I'm sorry you came in a little bit later than I wanted. What else is going on? It's going to be hot. Oh, I know what it is. When we get the high temperatures, I don't know about your lawn, but I was mowing yesterday, and I looked back, and there are tracks in my yard. And I was trying to figure out what they are, and of course, one of the tracks is where you have a heavy mower. I've got a big one, 600 pounds, and you're on grass that's stressed. It'll give you tracks. The other thing is that 600 pounds of weight under conditions where it's been moist, where we had to mow no matter what, could be compaction. So try, if you got tracks, check it out. You might want to change your mowing pattern. Just shift it over. Have a fantastic week. The Gardening Show will be back in a week.